ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast with myself, Cormac, and my beautiful co-host, Taylor. Taylor, how are we? How's your bank holiday weekend been?
You know what? It's been all right. Weather's been okay. We had a nice little birthday celebration for our friend, and we had a nice little shindig. Cormac on the decks. Shout out to Cormac on the decks. Did you have a nice bank holiday weekend?
Yeah, it's been lovely. I can't believe now we're actually at the end of it, which is horrible, but at least it is only a four-day working week.
It's been a great week.
It has been. Tell you what, it's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week.
It feels like a lifetime ago now, but there's been Champions League and Europa League games that we all need to run through. But the most interesting of which, unfortunately, isn't really the Arsenal game, which we'll come on to shortly. But I think we have to start off with Man United 5, Lyon 4. Taylor, go for it.
Well, let's just confirm. 7-6 on aggregate. Manchester United through to the Europa League semi-final. Absolutely never in doubt. Never doubted the boys for 1 second.
I did. Went 4-2.
This might genuinely be, I think, just for football in general, the moment of the season. And that's crazy because we've just watched Arsenal do an all-timer.
Well, moment for the season for Man United.
No, I think just for football this season. I don't think that's an anorak. Name me a better moment.
I mean, maybe the best game of the season. I don't know the moment of the season.
We had three
finals of Europa League.
Let's kick through. Let's go from the start. Let's walk away through the game. So, first 11, I think it was 11 minutes in. Manuel
Ugarte, 10 minutes in, first goal.
Lovely goal, Garnacho on the twist in the box and popped the ball back, and there he was to finish. Nice for him.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you know, nothing really happens. It's kind of petering along. Diego Dallo, by the way, just before half time, brings it to 2-0. Manchester United are cruising.
I remember at this point as well, so I was out with some friends and we didn't get to watch the first half. We were already watching the second half because we were getting some food. And we were kind of like, 2-0 already. And we were like, that's probably game over somehow, we thought.
Everyone thought it was game over.
Yeah, little did we know.
Oh my gosh, second half comes around and then Coraland Tolisso, headed in, you know, the first goal. And actually, it was an okay goal.
It was a nice goal.
But you know what? As soon as they scored that first goal,
everyone knew.
I was in the pub and literally this guy was like, oh no, bring on Mason Mount, bring on. I was like, no, don't change it because it's 2-0. And if they score a goal, this will change quickly. And they scored. And then what, 6 minutes later, they made it 2-2.
Yep.
And you just sat there thinking the worst. You're just like, I can't believe we bottled it. This is such an unnecessary moment to be in.
Yep.
Little did we know. It would get slightly better because Lyon then managed to get 2 minutes before full time, a man sent off, and the atmosphere changed.
Unlucky red card, though.
Horrific decision.
Because that's not second yellow, is it?
Shout out Lenny Yoro, who had a fantastic
He played very well.
Two legs, but he managed to convince the ref that he tripped himself over, and Tolisso behind him was the ultimate culprit.
He didn't even protest too much.
They did look tired. So. Yeah. He gets sent off, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere in Old Trafford, you could tell it changed. There was optimism again. So then extra time begins, and Ryan Shirky just hits a fairly decent shot, I'd say. Onana had no chance.
No.
Into the net. All of a sudden, 3-2 to Lyon. You're like, at that point, I actually walked out the pub. And the next events which would have happened, I just completely missed and had no idea that then Lyon then went to score again from a penalty.
Yeah.
Was it Luke Shaw who gave away the penalty?
Yeah, it was.
It was.
James Corden himself, bless him.
He didn't have a particularly strong game when he did come on gave away the penalty. And then they went 4-2 up. I completely had no idea this even happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bruno Fernandes converted a penalty, which Casemiro won. Because shout out Uncle Casemiro, man. He had an all-timer 15-minute period for Manchester.
Yes.
The minute he won the penalty, he single-handedly carried Manchester United to, well, we'll get to it. But So then Bruno Fernandes converts what felt like a huge penalty because then the momentum kicked. That's when I came in back from being really angry. And I hadn't noticed because I was maybe a little bit drunk. I didn't notice that the score changed. I just noticed there was still a one-goal gap. So it never really occurred to me. And then obviously, what was to happen next? You'd have Kobbie Mainoo scoring an absolute shout out. What a finish, man! That is when I think of the classic Kobbie now.
That
I think
that
out left side of the box cuts in, takes a wonderful, just opens his body up for the
right,
goal.
Right foot curbs it into the far
did against corner. Wolves for the winner. Did against Liverpool. Now he's done against Lyon.
And FA Cup final last year.
FA Cup final, absolute.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bring that back. Yeah.
Oh gosh, and so great finish from him, and then just literally.
2 minutes later. Not even that, sorry. A minute later. Yeah.
Big Harry Maguire. Shout out Harry Maguire.
Of all people.
You know what? Amarin, tactical genius. You know what? Everyone thinks they're a fancy coach, but every point of a Manchester United manager career, you all put Harry Maguire up front. Up top, it used to be Scott McTominay, but now it's Harry Maguire. And it's, you'll always have that point in United career where you will pop the massive man up top. And it absolutely paid. He scored an ace header and the, oh man, the reaction. I mean, I went nuts. Everyone in the stadium were going nuts. Players were going nuts.
I went nuts.
Everyone was going nuts. Every, you know, it was absolutely
commentary was going crazy. Robbie Savage. God, what a biased commentary box that is.
Oh, I know. It was unbelievable.
Insufferable commentary box. It was, Robbie Savage, Rayford, now together. Yeah,
it was shocking. But somehow Manchester United managed to turn despair into, you know, delightful enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly hate this team so much because why do they have to? It's beautiful that this happens like this. And it's what football's all about. And I live for those moments. Like, that was such a great feeling. That carried me all the way through the next day. And I was still so overjoyed.
Buzzing.
But then also I'm thinking, I'm just reminded, no, we were 2-0 up. This didn't have to happen. This didn't have to happen. And there was a moment in the game where Garnacho did some fantastic play, got himself through 1-1. Literally just had to do, just he'd done everything so right and then still managed to not score. And that would have put us 3-0 up. And the game would have been completely different. But I mean, to win a game like that, that was awesome. I was having people message me who I've met in life at some point, who I haven't spoken to in years, who caught the game and goes, gosh, man, that was one hell of a game. And that's what football's about, isn't it? It's bringing the world together and it's like making like what fantastic memories watching it. And that was the type of game which is like, cool, blimey, that football, bloody hell, you know?
Yeah. Football, bloody hell, indeed. Yeah. I mean, what did you think of United's performance then? So result aside, which is a great result.
I don't think you can measure the performance. I think this is a one-off game of just like such specialness that it's actually pointless looking at like possession or shots on target or like how they controlled the game and stuff, because it was a crazy game. You know, you're unlikely to see a game like that ever again.
Absolutely mental.
They believe they're the first team to score. It's the first time Manchester United won a game 5-4 since the, I think it was 19... It was the game before the Munich air crash.
Wow.
And they won 5-4 against Arsenal. And that was the last time they won 5-4. So it's a big score, unique score. And I think, I'm pleased. Because now we get to go through to the semi-finals. Our season's alive. Because I don't think anyone wanted to live in a world where Manchester United's season was over. Because it's just so bleak for all the fans who have done so much this season. So to get through to the next round, I'm not even going to talk about the Wolves game on Sunday.
You can if you want.
I actually don't need to, because that, it doesn't really matter, because this is the game that actually counts. And we're through to the semis and we've got Atleti de Bilbao, which is exciting, yet annoying.
Another away day for Taylor.
Another away day for me in T-minus 10 days or so.
Yeah, got a quick turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah, quick turnaround. So it's going to be really hectic. And if we do manage to get past Bilbao, obviously then the final again is in Bilbao. So it's going to be a lot of Bilbao.
And all Northern Spain.
Well, no, I say that. We've got to get through first. It might be a mediocre amount of Bilbao until we reach the final. But great result. Really happy. I think great game. And really happy to talk about something which is as entertaining as that.
And just nice to have something positive about United, isn't it?
It's not much, is there?
There's not been many moments this season.
Yeah.
But again, I think, you know, just really quick, you touched on Bruno Fernandes is such a shining light.
Oh, isn't he? He's that guy, man.
He is. I think he's had a mixed season. I think from what I've seen as well, you'll know better, kind of the beginning of the season, he was a bit, I mean, the entire team was a bit of a mess. But I think especially in the last kind of month to 2 months, it feels like he's really stepped up.
I think you can exactly pinpoint it to the exact moment is when he got like a stretch where he had like 3 red cards in like 6 games. It was the final red card. The first one was rescinded, then got a red card. I think it was in a Europa game, perhaps.
I can't remember.
And then he got one in the league. And it was that game after, I think it was the Wolves game, he got sent off. He's been, his mindset, something switched in him. Mm-hmm. He's been an ace ever since. He's literally carried us. I mean, the last, I think the only 2 wins we've won in the league are against Ipswich and Leicester in the last 12 games.
It doesn't matter whatever league finish, doesn't it?
But Bruno has been ace, and he's been, if we've done something well, someone's definitely part of it. He's been part of it, 100%.
Absolutely. I think, he's your guy, and he's going to go down as a bit of a hero this season if you guys continue to have the European success.
Him and Uncle Casemiro have had, a good month and a half together. Casemiro, two assists.
Two assists.
And won the penalty.
Good on him. Yeah, I'm just saying that now. He got the assist for the Kobe and the Maguire. Wow,
clutched up at Uncle Casemiro.
I know, finally.
For everything he's won and all the Champions Leagues and all the leagues he's won around Madrid, no one looked more bothered than him. He literally collapsed when he scored that fifth goal and just sheer overwhelming of emotion. I love that.
Yeah, you do forget.
He's had a tough season, so it's good to see all the players kind of boot and rally together and share that moment. I feel like it was needed.
Yeah, all right. going into the next game, then Bilbao, are you feeling confident? We're going to do predictions this week. We'll do that next week when it's a little bit closer.
You know me, man. I'm really rational. I'll pull our thorns through. So we're absolutely going to batter them.
No doubt.
That's all I need to say. We'll talk about why I think they'll batter them more when we get closer to the
next
game.
Next week, yeah.
That's all I need to say.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, well, I mean, big next game of United. But going on to then, the most important Champions League, well, the only Champions League, the most important European competition, Arsenal 2, Real Madrid 1. And let me tell you, Taylor, I can't believe we're going to win the Champions League.
I can't believe it.
It's unbelievable. Arsenal are going to win the whole thing.
It's a big season for the Red and White.
Thank God. What are you going to start podcasting?
Like, you know, we're going to watch our teams drive towards European glory together. Yeah. It's going to be beautiful. It's the celebration is going to be crazy because Arsenal, I mean, talk me through that performance, man.
Completely outplayed Real Madrid from the get-go. I mean, defensively, we're just so well set up. Massive shouts out to Kiwior, who I kind of mentioned him last week, but again this week, I think he was immense at the back. He had a better game than Saliba. Saliba was good until that kind of cock-up moment, obviously, which gave away the Vinicius goal. But starting from the game, kind of the first 10 minutes or so, I was shitting it. Like, I was genuinely nervous because it was a big deal and, you know, so much fucking... Run their mouth so much, them fucking Madrid
how
fans.
Annoying was that?
Oh, God. Remontada?
Yeah. So 9 minutes of the Bernabeu is a long time.
Yeah, if you're a Real Madrid fan. Yeah. Fucking hell. Like, that was awful. But yeah, the first 10 minutes or so, I was pretty nervous still. But then after that, there was not really any moments where I was particularly
picked
worried.
Where you left, really, from the home.
Exactly. Though. Exactly the same story all over again. Obviously, Saka penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I was, so, you know how confident I was. As soon as that went through. I mean, it was who got dragged back in the box? It was Marino, wasn't it? I think he got dragged back from a corner. It took about 2 minutes for them to come back to it.
Yeah, that was weird. I was
and
really confused.
I think it was a penalty, but I didn't think they'd give it.
No,
I didn't because of the Bernabeu. Yeah. Or Bernabeu. I don't know how it's one of the two.
Bernabeu.
I don't know, whatever. But I didn't think they were going to give it. They did. Saka set that awful penalty. Like,
no, it's one of those where it's not an awful penalty if he scores it. Yeah. But it's just because he saved it.
I know, but like the Panenka to the left. Slightly to the left.
But also, as you'll talk about, he did get his redemption.
Absolutely, he did. I had no doubt he was going to come back from that.
Rubbish
penalty.
He won't do that again.
No, he won't be doing that again.
See the little scream in his face. After
yeah, Rudiger came in and fucking bumped into him. Yeah. He's a nutcase.
Then,
when 0-0 second into half time, at this point, I am genuinely feeling quite confident about it, feeling good about our chances. Again, Real Madrid weren't really testing us at all the first half, carried on to the second half. But then, 65th minute, Odegaard to Marino. Marino, lovely little ball through. And what a finish from Saka there. Just dinking over Courtois. Like nobody's business. You know, recovering from the penalty and scoring a goal like that. Running
chipping
off.
Him after missing his chip earlier. That's
exactly.
Insane.
Bukayo Saka is a world-class player. Agreed. Now doing it on world-class stages.
Absolutely.
And it feels like now he's finally getting the plaudits that he deserves. I think he's arguably... He's a top three England player. I think he's a top 10 player in the world. I don't think that's outrageous.
I don't think that's outrageous.
Okay, good, thank
I don't
you.
Think that's outrageous.
Correct answer.
We're big fans of Saka.
We do, love Saka.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, I have to love Saka. I genuinely don't think I've ever loved a football player like this before.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of connection he has with the fans and just how, because of how bad we were when he first broke into the team. But so what a moment for him to get a goal like that. And then 2 minutes later, up the other end, Saliba falls asleep and Vinicius just takes off and taps it in. And that was the only real moment that they actually had a proper shot on goal, it looked like. I mean, I've got some of the stats here. But in terms of XG, they had 1.5 to us, was 2.05.
Cool, Mike. Tell us how many crosses Real Madrid had.
44 crosses into the
box. I thought it was 52.
Was it 52?
Is it saying there on the stats?
I don't think it was. Well, sorry, bear with us here, guys.
Text.
No, we've got all the XGs you can possibly ask for.
Got every stat in the world.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Total crosses, 43.
Real Madrid, 43
crosses to Arsenal's 8. And of the 43, 7 of them were successful, which means they were met by a Real Madrid player.
And zero of them were goals.
All they were doing were putting balls in the box. And Kiwior and Saliba were like, yeah, no worry. Bang, off, goes. And then, yeah, they were pushing, 93rd minute.
Mm-hmm.
Martinelli threw on goal. Really tidy finish. Really happy for him as well. He's been great the last couple of weeks. He's really kind of at his best again.
God, it's one of those moments as well. How awesome is it to watch just players go absolutely nuts because they've realised they've done it. They realise they beat Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 93rd, Martinelli goal. It's a nice narrative, isn't it?
That's great. I'm so annoyed though. 5-0 aggregate would have been great.
Yeah,
that moment.
get that framed and hang that up. You, I know. You have to. Absolutely. That's ace.
I saw some funny tweets of like Saliba getting his one stinker out of the season against Real Madrid, so they think he's shit and they won't sign him. That's what I want. He's not. He's staying with us for another year.
So, Arsenal, great performance from them. But I do want to ask you about the performance of your captain, Odegaard. I thought for as much as the whole team, and I actually thought Thomas Partey was especially good.
He was immense. I mean, Declan Rice as well, by the way.
Declan Rice,
back to back man of the matches. Yeah. Again, just runs that midfield. Bellingham is nowhere near him in terms of over the last two games.
We've been big Bellingham fans as well. But that, you know, when you're saying top three England players, Saka's one of them. Rice is also one of them.
I saw a thing today. I don't know how true it is. It's definitely not true. I saw it was a fake tweet, but it was like Declan Rice is second in the Ballon d'Or rankings currently. I was like, hell yeah, of course. God. But no, yeah, two man of the match performances again. He just ran the show. Like he is similar to Van Dijk, I think, and the way he covers ground makes it look so effortless. Mm-hmm. And then his ability to carry the ball as well. And we've said it as well, he looks better in that eight, not the six, because it gives him the opportunity to go through. So when he has someone like Partey, he can sit a little bit more. It gives him that freedom to carry the ball, play the passes through. But yeah, he was
immense over the two times.
He's just 100%. A big bugger as well.
But going back to Odegaard, what did you kind of think of his performances over legs?
I thought he was better in the second leg. I thought he was pretty anomalous, really. Actually, probably no, the other way around. Sorry, I thought he was better in the first leg. I think he struggled a lot in the second leg. He played a key part in Saka's first goal, which was really nice. But there were a lot of few frustrating moments where a pass was like slightly behind or misplaced, or he was just fanning about a little bit too much. It's a bit frustrating because of last year, he was probably one of our top two, top three players.
One of the better players in the league.
In the league, absolutely. So it's confusing what's happened. I think it may be tied with his injury, and I think it's parts of that. Right. And it feels like there is a little bit of a confidence issue. But I have no doubt he still has that quality and he can pull out moments.
He still looks like a fantastic footballer, but I found him to be so frustrating. He was. The nail on the
frustrating.
Head. Frustrating because he was just always... I thought there were so many moments where he could just take that touch or two less. He just... Yeah. Always is trying to make a decision. You can see his brain almost working as he's moving, which is really impressive to watch. But it's just doing a bit too much of it. He just needs to be quicker and getting out his feet a bit more. Because you're 100% as a player there. We've seen it. I just think he's, like you say, suffering from a crisis of confidence.
I think a lot of it as well is when him and Saka are back on the pitch, you notice the difference so much about how well they work together down that right side in that kind of right pocket. So I think now that hopefully they can both stay fit for the remainder of the season and have that run of the Champions League, I think that's going to be so important. And if Odegaard can get back to 80% of what he was last year in terms of like performance-wise, I think there's no doubt that we can get to the final.
Also, I think it's important to shout out your boy, Lewis Skelly. Over the two legs, he was ace as well. Coming of age performance,
absolutely.
Almost.
Absolutely. He's kind of had a break. He's been the breakout player of the year for us. You know, when I first saw Wanyama come through, and he's been great as well. Hasn't featured quite as much recently.
Didn't feature really across the two legs.
And did
he
come on in the second game?
I don't even remember.
No. But I thought he was going to be the guy this season that kind of comes out. But I think Lewis Skelly, he's coming. I mean, we've said it last week. We've kind of spoken him to death a little bit. But 18 years old, already looks like a player. I think there's probably a future for him in the Arsenal midfield. Is what it feels like, I think, when we haven't have a full fit team.
That's a great midfield.
I know.
Him and Rice.
Him and Rice would be exciting. But overall, Real Madrid, really disappointing.
Rubbish.
But that doesn't take away from how good we were.
No.
And I think...
You guys smashed them. And I think Real Madrid are obviously suffering at the minute. It's been confirmed that Ancelotti is actually leaving. Not at the end of the season, but actually after the Copa del Rey final against Barcelona in 10 days.
Yep.
So they're obviously deciding to part ways with Ancelotti, which I think is a bit crazy. I reckon it's now going to go back to Zidane, and then Ancelotti is going to come back in like 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they did need a bit of a change there, right? Because Ancelotti isn't a tactician.
No, he's not, but he manages a group of like Galacticos, essentially. Yeah,
egos.
Fantastically, that's been because he's just a vibes manager.
He is eyebrow raised.
He sets the tone, doesn't he, through his natural aura.
Yeah.
So you're right, he's not really, but then how well will this team, like that attacking trio, for example, adapt to, like a really tactical coach? I feel like I don't know what coach fits Real Madrid, so it'll be really interesting.
That's it. You need the personality, don't you? Yeah. You need someone who's larger than life you can deal with.
Interesting news, though. Apparently, it could be Jurgen Klopp, which would be hilarious.
Wow.
So I read that apparently he's a bit disenfranchised with his current role in the Red Bull group.
Yeah.
because he's more of like a consultant.
Yeah,
he's not doing much hands on. There's no particular remit for his role either. And I feel if you come from a managerial, heavy, intense job, to go into that's probably a bit boring.
Yeah.
So apparently Real Madrid have been in touch with him to see whether he'd be interested.
I mean,
I reckon he'd take it.
That would be amazing. I mean, why wouldn't you take it? But that would be really interesting to see how he plays. Because obviously, as time's Liverpool, he's all high-pressing, high-energy, running around. Are you going to get Vinicius, Mbappe?
I actually think Vinicius is fantastic at pressing, by the way.
Well, he is when he wants to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, Mbappe does sometimes.
No, Mbappe ran, I think, in the first leg against Arsenal, 6K.
Yeah, see.
Which, when you have players who are running on average 10, 11, 12, you got a bloke here who's running half that distance, which you can't be doing that in a game of that magnitude. No. You've got to... You can definitely hit a couple more kilometers. So it'll be really weird fit. I don't know if it were, but it'd be interesting.
It'd be
so funny because Liverpool have this like deep down hatred of Real Madrid because they just always beat them.
Yeah.
And if they're
to go
their greatest manager, you know, arguably, I guess.
Yeah.
Depends who you ask, but would go to the team they hate them. And then Trent moves as well. That's absolutely
hilarious. Really funny.
Sorry, Liverpool fans. I'm not sorry.
Yeah. Really funny.
All right, anything else to touch on?
Well, just PSG next round, obviously.
Yeah, huge.
So we beat them 2-0 earlier in the season. Obviously, that was a very different team to the team PSG that we're looking at now.
Serious like environment as well in our Champions League semi-final. Stakes are so much more.
Yeah, very exciting draws kind of all around in the championship. But I am confident going into the PSG game.
Yeah.
And the team, you know, they're going to be as confident as if they beat Real Madrid. Why can't they could just beat anyone?
Oh,
really.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. It's that midfield battle.
Yeah.
I think defensively, they're weak. You're much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That midfield, I think their attack is better than your attack.
Actually, sorry, we didn't mention Marino as well. 2 assists in that in that game. And even yesterday against Ipswich. But he was so good.
Oh, yeah.
And he's having an absolute, he's completely turned around. Well, the start of the season was pretty meh.
Mm.
To now being a real important clog in that team, and he's doing it. He's just
We spoke about this on the phone the other day. What I love about Arsenal so much is everyone. I just genuinely think rather than it's the players that you have, it is the actual design of the team that Arteta and his coaching staff have created, so that it almost is so plug and play. You can put most players anywhere. Everyone's going to understand what they're doing, and the system's so strong and robust that it just allows, you can probably thrive, and I'm not surprised to see Kivior. I think Arsenal fans are a lot more worried than, say, like the general football fan would be about bringing Kivior in, because your structure's so strong, and showed against Real Madrid. You guys look so organised, so much thought to what you were doing, whereas they didn't look like they had half the club.
No.
Cross. But Luis Enrique has coached this PSG team really well. So this is going to be so interesting to see how Arteta and Enrique approach that, because they're both going to be trying to outthink each other, essentially.
Yeah.
So
we'll come back to that next week. We'll do a little bit more.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one to talk about.
Really,
that's going to be a good one.
Shall we touch on the other Champions League games that just happened? I mean, Villa PSG, actually, while we're talking about PSG.
Yeah.
What a game that was.
Villa, bless him. They almost.
I thought they were going to do it. I was so sure. You must be buzzing they didn't, because Rashford had a game.
He did have a game.
So he got taken off.
But also, did you see the whole Ollie Watkins thing at the weekend where he did the interview?
And he was pissed off.
He was like, bro, I've literally built this club up to where it is now. I've been that guy.
He's right.
He's so correct.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why he was scoring in European semi-finals for England and Rashford was sat at home.
Mm-hmm.
So they've signed Rashford on loan and he's obviously just been pushed out. Which is surprising because Rashford's not a striker.
No.
Rashford is better on the left wing. Mm-hmm. But then the problem is with Rashford is you have him and Watkins. They both want to always take the shot. Rashford is the left winger who will always shoot. He's not looking across.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like one of them had to be taken out. He's gone for Rashford, which is surprising. But he did have a game.
He was playing very well.
He did have a game.
So it was 1-0, 2-0 to PSG.
Yes.
And then at half-time, I was like, oh, maybe that's... Well, then the 20-0 went 2-1, didn't it? Tiedemann's got that goal, which was a nice goal. And then I thought, long way back. But then John McGinn.
Big John McGinn, man. Shout out John McGinn.
Yeah, what a goal. I mean, it did take a little deflection, but from, just outside the box, wasn't it? Smacked it.
No, he just.
Donnarumma standing still.
He thundered it, didn't he? And I like that, yeah.
And then, beautiful bit of skill from a corner. Rashford takes it through, squares it to Konter. Konter tucks it in their post. 2 minutes after the McGinn goal. And it's just 5-4 in aggregate at this point.
Ezri Konsa could have had a hat trick in that game.
He could have. Because that cross that came in, he missed the header.
He probably finished the hardest one.
Yeah, probably.
Out of all of them, which is insane.
Which is a real shame. But
PSG probably were the better team.
Yeah, I'm going to say probably did deserve to go through.
I think over the two legs, but they looked scared that second half.
Mm-hmm, they did.
They got a little bit rattled.
Villa Park. Oh, shout out the Villa Park music staff for playing the Europa League instead of the Champions League.
Everyone said that's why Rashford really locked
yeah,
in.
Yeah, then all of a sudden Rashford's like, Paul, back at home. Yeah. So that was hilarious. Biggest night of their career, and they just absolutely fumbled the bag.
Someone's getting the sack, aren't they? Yeah. No, that stunk. That really stunk. But yeah, obviously PSG through to the next round, playing Arsenal. All very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Other side of the draw, Dortmund versus Barcelona. 3-1 in the end for Dortmund on this game. 5-3 overall for Barcelona going through. Moments where I thought, oh my God, Dortmund are going to have a bit of a comeback as well. Which, thank God, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that Dortmund team are pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, again, I've only watched the highlights of that game. I didn't watch it.
No. No one wants to see Dortmund in another Champions
League. No, I think Barcelona are definitely...
Yeah.
Between them and PSG, probably the favourites.
Well, I don't think so, personally.
Do you think
I have some outrageous opinions on my new favourite team in the world.
Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to come back to that in a second?
Well, I just think that Barcelona will be a lot more upset that they've got Inter Milan rather than Bayern Munich.
I think that's very fair enough.
And I think Barcelona would have had a much better opportunity to get through against Bayern again than rather than Inter. I think if any team can beat them in this competition, it will be this Inter.
This Inter team are so difficult to beat.
Yeah.
So difficult.
So difficult. Their defence is really experienced. Shout out Matteo Darmian. I still think he plays for Inter Milan.
Yeah, he does.
Which is absolutely nuts. Did he score?
I feel like he did in the first leg.
Yeah. But shout out him. And I just think that Inter team... so solid.
Yeah.
And they could really cause... I think that Bayern team was just there to get at. Yeah, they've got no defence and Barcelona have a very good attack.
Yeah,
Inter have a fantastic defence, midfield and attack.
Exactly. 2-2 on the night against Bayern Munich. A goal from Martinez and Pavard and then Harry Kane and Eric Dier teaming up and getting a goal apiece for Bayern Munich. 4-3 in aggregate. Inter go through. But that Inter team are going to be so difficult to play. If Arsenal do get through to through PSG in the final, I think I would rather play Barcelona.
100%.
Which is a wild thing to say, you know. But that PSG team are kind of the anti-Arsenal, that low block. They're the only ones to beat us in the Champions League.
Who, Inter?
They beat us 1-0 at San Siro.
So, they're a good team, man.
Really good team.
Again, 100% agree. I'd fancy my chance more against Barca than that Inter team.
Okay, we'll do more kind of diving in next week for predictions and stuff for the Champions League and the Europa League, which we'll come on to in a second. If you had to pick a winner right now?
I'm going to go for Inter Milan. I just really like this team.
Yeah, all right.
Who are you going to go
Arsenal?
For?
Yeah, no doubt.
I thought we just both can't go double Arsenal.
Yeah, I know. That's fair. I thought you were going to go for Arsenal. Looking at the other Europa League games then, Tottenham got through.
Really surprised by
Jabby
that.
Jabby bastards really on a penalty.
On a penalty. I mean, it was a penalty. I think absolutely riot shielded James Maddison. He had to get taken off. But I want to say lucky, but it's a very good performance to go away to Frankfurt.
Get a win, which is not an easy game.
As well. So credit to them. They've got Bodo Glimt, who managed to get through on penalties against Lazio after winning the first leg. Lazio bringing it back, taking it extra time. Bodo Glimt getting someone sent off.
Yeah.
And then scoring very late on to take it to penalties. And then to hold their nerve in the Stadio Olimpico that they play in?
Yes.
What does it say there?
I'll check for you. Yeah, Stadio Olimpico, there you go.
Boom. The Stadio Olimpico, where the atmosphere will be so charged, and you know the Italian fans, especially
Lazio fans are nuts.
Lazio
as well.
Fans are, you know, great fans, loud fans, and to hold their nerve and win a penalty shootout. Yeah, I
love it.
I think they'll probably, I'll be really annoyed if Tottenham just batter them and get to the final.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Would I.
But I really hope they give them a game up in the Arctic Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm very jealous of the Spurs fans to get to go to that away game.
Yeah,
that'd
be really fun.
You know, it's still snowing there. The pitch is still snowing.
In, you know, almost, it's almost May now.
I have some unique insight into Bodo Glimt if you'd like to hit.
Come on then, hit us. What you
so
got?
The Norwegian league, as you can imagine, is not flushed with cash.
No.
And it's a small European league. It very much relies on clubs buying their players to make any profit. But Bodo Glimt have been actually really successful in the last few years in the Europa League, and it's kind of created this like money gap essentially in the league between them and literally everyone else.
Okay.
So they are now just dominating on the pitch and financially as well. So they're just heads and shoulders. But there's like a relative amount of envy across the league for just because they've been able to source all this extra money, which literally is incomparable to what the average Norwegian club will have.
Okay.
And there's just been like this whole we don't really like you anymore. Because they're a small town, but they've managed to gain so much so quickly.
Well.
And it's distorted the league entirely. So it sounds like everyone in the league's rather upset about it. But for them and their fans, I imagine they're absolutely...
But the time of their lives,
they've
yeah.
got a stadium which is, I think it's 8,000 in capacity.
That's hilarious.
And they play on AstroTurf, which yeah. is why Lazio lost the first leg, because they said they were a bit shocked by the AstroTurf pitch they weren't used to, whereas the Bodo Glimt players play on it every week. Yeah. So there you go. That's my insight into the strangest team left in Europe.
Yeah, I really hope they get to the final. I'd love to see them beat Spurs first of all.
Yeah, I'd much prefer to go up against like the chill Norwegian fans, who are probably all Man U fans anyway,
yeah.
than the annoying Spurs fans.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't want to play Spurs in the final. So I've got to
beat Bilbao first, who did do 2-0 over Rangers.
In the last, I think it's 8 years, every time we've reached the knockout stage of a European competition, we have been knocked out by Spanish teams like 7 of the last 8 times.
Yeah, good stuff.
So ultimately, semi-final against the Spanish team. We get knocked out.
What dreams are made of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, quickly, they beat Rangers 2-0, which is a bit of a shame. I would like to see Rangers go through. Not too much to say. They were the better team from what I saw, the highlights. They are just the better quality
Props
team.
Is always going to happen.
Yeah, Nico Williams, future Arsenal player, scoring a goal as well.
Might be out of the first
injury.
Leg. You know, yeah, he got an injury. I think did he miss? They played Real Madrid yesterday because Real Madrid won 1-0. Did you see the Valverde goal? Yeah,
his goal catalogue is ridiculous. Some of the goals he scored.
Man, love Valverde. And they lost. I'm not sure if he played, but he did have I think it was like a I don't want to say a hamstring injury, but he has an injury of sorts, which might keep him out. Which if he does, huge for United.
We'll
still lose, but it's just huge.
No, it is. Because he's probably their best player. Mm-hmm. All right, then I'm going to ask you a silly question now.
Go on.
Right now, if you had to predict who's going to win the Europa League, who are you saying?
Bodo Glimt. No, I'm just kidding. Up the boys, Manchester United.
Yeah, I think that's not really a surprise there. I would go unbiased. I'm probably going to say Bilbao. If they, which, you know. Sorry, but.
Nah, man. I think Bodo Glimt.
Yeah, I would love that as well.
That's the only team I wouldn't mind losing it to.
Yeah.
So that's way more meaningful for them.
Yeah, that'd be huge for them, wouldn't it?
We just suck because we suck and make bad decisions. Whereas that's cool for them.
It would be really cool. That'd be the best final, I think, for the podcast anyway. Man United versus Bodo Glimt, I think.
Let's still lose.
I know. Makes it even better. Right, really quickly, let's touch on the competition no one cares about. Chelsea lost to Warsaw at Stamford Bridge. Just really funny.
Yeah.
Still got through on aggregate 4-2.
Everyone's falling out of love with Maresca now, and it all feels like...
Oh, do you reckon he survives the summer?
Yeah, I think he does, because I think the important people at Chelsea, like the sporting directors, Win Stanley and someone else, who make the decision, this is their man, and they can't afford to get it wrong, because I think they'd get sacked. So they're going to keep him in for as long as possible. I don't think they had that bad of a season that they'll get rid of him. I just don't think the fans like him.
No.
Whereas I think at board level, they, I care about him. I don't think there's murmurings. Yeah. But again, they're going to just go into the market this summer, buy really annoying players for stupid, annoying amounts of money.
Yeah, so 21-year-olds.
Yeah, just distort the market even more. And they've already bought like 7 players before the summer's even open. But they're in the Club World Cup, which has a prize pot of 1 billion.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think if you win, you get like 100 million euros, 80 million quid.
Some point in the summer, the end of the season, we'll do an episode on the Club World Cup.
Club World Cup special.
Yeah, I think I'd run through that because it's a really interesting competition.
Mm-hmm. Lots of bits to get into. Yeah, all the political aspects, all the economic aspects, and all the many problems they've had along the way trying to get this tournament up and running. So we'll do a bit of a deep dive
into that, I reckon. I think that'd be really good fun. But yeah, that's kind of the European roundup, basically.
Yeah, great week.
Great week for Arsenal United fans. Chelsea, who give a shit.
We were excited to get on and talk about that one. So.
Yeah, exactly. Top four battle now in the Premier League.
Yes.
We'll go into that. That's the only thing really there is left in the Prem now, because Liverpool won yesterday against Leicester. They are now one win away, which they've got a midweek game this week against Forest. No, that's not right. Someone. But that would round it up for them.
Yes.
Which kind of always been coming. Leicester have also been relegated as of yesterday. Again, no one breaking news.
Southampton now on level points with Derby.
Yes.
So they're almost not the worst team that's ever been in the
Premier League. Yeah, because West Ham are just that bad. They can't even beat an already relegated Southampton.
Yeah.
West Ham are awful to
watch. Ham are awful, but they're also on level... Like, they're 1 point behind United, so I really can't say much.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, the top four battle, this is going to be the most interesting thing left. So,
yes.
From third going down, we've got Newcastle on third, are on 59 points. Man City on 58 and fourth. Chelsea on 57 and fifth. Forest on 57 and sixth, who got a game in hand, are playing tonight at time of recording. And then Villa again on 57 in seventh, and then dropped off to Bournemouth on 49 points. So they're out of it. So you've got Villa, Forest, Chelsea, City, and Newcastle, five teams fighting for 3, 4, and 5 for Champions League, and then 6th and 7th for other European competitions. So they're all going to get some form of Europe next year.
Yeah.
What are your initial thoughts of who's going to make it? Because I think it could. I think there is a world where any of them make it.
Top 100%.
Or top five in this case, sorry.
I think Newcastle are going to do it.
Yeah, even though they lost 4-1 didn't they, to Villa over the weekend.
Yeah, but Newcastle and Villa always just thrash each other.
It does feel like that, doesn't it?
It just happens to be that this time Villa thrash Newcastle. I think that's just because of the strength and depth they had on the bench. But I think Newcastle will probably... Chelsea have some really tough... Basically, they all have to play each other as well still. Yeah. So Chelsea have to play Forest and Newcastle, I believe. And
should we look at the Chelsea fixtures?
Because they all kind of just have to play each other.
So Chelsea have got Everton on Saturday, which is not an easy game.
No.
Not Everton are good at the moment. Then they've got Liverpool May the 4th, be with you, which they'll probably be on the beach at that point. So, you know, who knows? Then they do have Newcastle on Sunday the 11th.
And they have Forest on the last day of the season.
They've got United in there as well, so that'll be an easy win.
That'd be fine. And so I do genuinely believe this is going to go down to the final weekend of the season.
Yeah.
That'll
be really exciting. I hope it does, because that is the only thing left.
My opinion rather than what I think. But I hope Forest get it. I hope Newcastle get it, because I think that'll cap off a really good season for them.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see Newcastle in the Champions League again.
Yeah, and I do think Newcastle fans, if you do get Champions League football, Isak will stay. I will give you that. But on the hope... So I think Newcastle get it. I hope Forest get it. I hope Chelsea don't get it. I don't care if Manchester City get it, so I'm going to put them in.
Yep. And then that means Villa.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I do kind of want Villa to get it.
So do I.
Because I think...
I would like, I just don't want Man City and Chelsea to get it.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly...
That's going to be difficult. One of them will get it. I just hope it's not Chelsea.
I hope it's not Chelsea. I think it'd be really funny if Chelsea miss out. I think Newcastle will get it, because they are... I think of those teams, they probably are the best.
They're in the best vein of form. I think you can probably take the Villa game out and just look at the form post Carabao Cup win. They'll probably sort themselves out.
Yeah, desperate for Forest to do it. And if they win tonight as well, that would put them third by one. They have a 1-point advantage.
Yes.
Who are they playing against? Spurs. Okay, they should be Spurs.
Yeah, they should be Spurs.
At Spurs Stadium, but we'll wait and see. It is going to be really tight, though.
But other than that, the Premier League is all set and done, pretty much.
Yeah, but other big news, I guess, another contract has been signed by Liverpool player this week.
Van Dijk.
Allegedly £400,000 a week.
I think he's on the same as what he was on. And they've just...
Was he on 400 grand?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they've just given him a 2-year contract and just,
That one felt kind of inevitable, though, didn't it?
Yeah, he's never going to get more money because of his age.
Yeah.
So I think he's been just kept to what he was at. Because he wouldn't have gotten less either.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Where do you rank Van Dijk on kind of all-time Premier League centre-backs?
He's definitely top three.
Yeah, I think so. Even with your Man United hat on.
I am probably. I just think because I've heard Rio Ferdinand talk too much for the past 4 years, he's not in my list anymore. Because
really?
I just think I prefer Vidic. I romanticise the idea of Vidic and just how hard he was. Battle hard and geezer.
I don't know if Vidic is top three. If you have top five centre-backs, do you reckon you can name them right now?
Yeah, 100%. I reckon you've got no particular order.
No particular order.
So you got Nemanja Vidic, Virgil van Dijk. I would put Rio in there.
Yeah.
I would put John Terry in there.
Yeah.
And then I would go for... You know what someone said the other day? I'm not going to... Someone actually was talking about great Premier League centre-backs and they said Daniel Agger. It was on the Sky Sports podcast, man. I couldn't believe it. Some great defenders over the last few years, like Daniel Agger.
Last few years as well, 7-8 years ago, probably.
And then my final fifth defender. There's going to be so many obvious. Every time we do this, I always forget someone so cleanly obvious. It's easy, Harry Maguire.
Yeah, I saw it. I was thinking Vincent Kompany.
I was also thinking Vincent Kompany.
I think he's kind of the obvious one
to
put in there.
Him or Sami Hyypiä.
Get Mustafi in there. But yeah, big signing for Liverpool. And then, did you see Trent's celebration yesterday?
Did, man. He went nuts.
Weird.
I reckon, this is just me thinking about vibes.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance that he's going to sign a contract.
Do you think?
That's really, really narcissistic if he's just done that.
It felt like a weird combination of like anger and passion kind of weird celebration thing. I don't know.
If I was the fan of that club, which I'm 100% not, but if a player of my club did that whose contract was running down, I'd get the idea that I'd think he was renewing.
Did you see the whole thing? So he took his shirt off and put it on the corner flag.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was like, oh, he's hanging up his shirt. And he's just done it for the Instagram caption.
Yeah. If he has, that's absolutely hilarious. And I do hope that is the case.
When the reports came out that he was going to Madrid, that all felt fairly concrete.
Yeah, I mean, very reputable journalists have commented saying there is an agreement in place for him to go to Madrid in the summer. But maybe he's changed his mind.
I mean, if it's just an agreement in principle, it doesn't matter. There's no contract.
That was 2 months ago. But then, remember, he has to still turn up to work every day where people are talking to him every day about trying to, definitely, since those reports come out, there's no way him and his agent haven't sat down with Liverpool again to try and get something.
And now Salah's signed, now Van Dijk's signed.
And if he does leave and those two stay, he is almost forever going to be remembered badly.
That's more of a villain situation, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. You see, the UFC fighter, what's his name?
Paddy Pimblett.
Someone asked him what, and he's the most Liverpool dude you can all
scouse that alive, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, he's a rat. If he leaves it, like straight on camera, he's like, he's a rat. He's not a man of us.
Yeah.
So it might actually be a case of just, that's where he's from, it's where he's always been. He is a scouse man himself. Maybe the pressure that the scouse people are applying to him are making him think, oh, well,
Do you remember what happened with Gerrard, allegedly?
Yes.
With the whole like Liverpool mafia and
stuff. Oh, really? No, I never heard
so that. It was like when, obviously, he was linked to Chelsea a long time, and allegedly he was kind of pushing for that Chelsea move quite a lot. And then I think apparently, again, this is all kind of hearsay, but it was like his family had ties with like a local gang in Liverpool, and like they'd helped them out at some point previously, and they ended up like threatening Gerrard's family and stuff, and doing all that, and that's what led him to end up staying, allegedly. Well, I don't know how much of that is actually true.
That sounds 100% true, Cormac, and I can't believe that happened.
Just journalistic expert that I am.
It's absolutely insane that happened, but maybe that's happened again. Not to speculate, but
who's to say?
I heard that it has happened again.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe he will. It looked like it was weird. If it's now extra weird if he leaves.
Yeah.
I think that will annoy people more if he's done that and then still leaves.
It would be very funny though.
It'll be interesting. And Liverpool are what, one way away from the title now?
So. Yeah. I think I lied, by the way, when I said they had a midweek fixture. But I think that's complete shite.
I think Liverpool play. I have no idea.
Oh, there you go. Tottenham on Sunday
at home.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Yeah, so that would be them winning the league.
Yeah.
Fair enough, who cares, whatever. I mean, to be fair, like, I saw someone say on Twitter the other day, again, this is, Twitter's shite, but being like, oh, no one gives a shit about Liverpool winning the league. It's just because they've been so much better than everyone else.
Yeah, it's because everyone else has been so bad. Competition has formed from it. They've just won the league. No one's really attempted.
Yeah, it's credit to Liverpool, though, and credit to Slot, especially.
Yeah. Cool. First season, it's a pretty good achievement.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Maybe World War III happens and they suspend the league now and Sunday.
Yeah, literally. Imagine.
That's good. Anything else that you want to talk about, Taylor? Anything else you got to cover?
I don't know, really. I think that's, we've hit the nail on the head. We've hit all the beautiful fixtures that happened this week.
We have indeed.
We've gone through the remaining jeopardy in the Premier League, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's not really much commentary else going on in the world of football.
No, I don't think so. Next week we'll do an episode, we'll do a bit more of the European conversation, or especially at the United matchup and the Arsenal matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, thank you very much, everyone, again, for listening. Hope you've enjoyed. Please like, please share, please subscribe, and all that fun shite. Links for everything will be in the description. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Adios.